It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. And I have in the studio here with me, Mark Kelsey. Welcome, Mark.
Good chilly Friday to everybody.
And on the phone, Philip Manning. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you, Mike.
So let's take care of the chilliness. It's cold down here in Palmer. What kind of temperature in the Talkeetna area?
Well, I haven't looked this morning, but single digits, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we're looking at about 4 degrees this morning.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a good place to start, because we had a year across the country, and in some respects here in the state, that showed some crazy kind of weather. And our focus on this show is to look at 2017 and say, are there things that have happened that will have a long tail going into 2018 that will carry on? And the weather seems to be a good place. What would you say, Philip, the weather over 2017 in Talkeetna area was like?
Well, you know, we had a relatively warm summer. Obviously nothing like a couple of years ago where we hit 97 degrees one day. And thankfully there was enough, there was a fair bit of rainfall in the summer as well, to the point where we didn't have a lot of fire damage, or fire danger rather, but not nearly so much that we really had to worry about a lot of flooding. So kind of a happy medium as far as that goes. And then the winter so far, we're not doing great on snow, but we have gotten some at least, which is an improvement over the last few years.
And how much is on the ground now?
Well, right before I left, before Christmas, we got a dumped on for about 10 inches. So as of right now, there's probably, in areas that haven't been plowed or groomed or anything, there's over a foot on the ground, but so not anything like what it used to be, but still enough if you want to get out and go snow machining or skiing or something like that, it's at least a possibility.
Now, one of the references that I have seen has focused on the differential in snow. The one that was most startling to me, and it relates because you from Talkeetna have a jumping off place for Denali and the park. And my understanding is that there are record-breaking snow depths in Denali.
In the mountains, yeah.
In the mountains, right. And on the other end, in other mountains throughout the state. And the fascinating thing is that we here in the Palmer area are looking at maybe wisps of snow left over. There's very little on the ground. And that seems to be a trend that will continue into 2018. And that has to do with the warming of the oceans, various temperatures, and all the rest that produces weather out of what appears to be a changing climate. And so for us, we're looking at snows in the Hatcher Pass area that are wonderful. So it's almost the best of all worlds. If you happen to live in the lowlands and you're not interested in skiing out your door, you don't have to move a lot of snow, but you can get to it by going to the mountains pretty quickly. And that seems to be something that is suggested will continue on into 2018. We'll have to see how that plays out. Mark, any other comments about weather that you have from 2017 that you think?
Just an observation that the plow operators are probably not happy again. I recall this time last year, my plow guy in particular was not doing well in the pre-Christmas revenue department. So there's always those folks out there to be concerned about.
Right. Okay. Let's turn then to 2017. As we approach January 2017, there were all kinds of thoughts about what might happen in Juneau that would affect us all. And it certainly, I could say, the Juneau legislature can't be faulted for not trying. They spent a lot of time down there. But this year is a different one in that coming up in the fall are some major elections nationwide and also statewide, and also affecting legislative seats. My impression is that the kind of low level of activity, and I'm talking about election activity because we had the kind of off year that happens in the fall, is not what we're going to enjoy in 2018. And it's already begun to build up with Governor Walker and others because there's a governor's seat up this year. From the Talkeetna area, Philip, what's your impression about the view of the legislature going forward here?
Well, in general, I think what you're seeing up here is similar to what you're seeing in a lot of areas in the state, which is there's a lot of frustration with a perceived lack of progress as far as closing the state's budgetary gap. You know, it's been, 4 years now that there's been talk and you know, a few years of a pretty significant, you know, bargaining back and forth and cuts, and then finally talk of potential revenue sources this year, but not a ton of action. We have seen, there have been some significant budget cuts across the board, but the Upper Valley is kind of a unique place politically because you do have a lot of folks of the more conservative side of the street that are saying what you're hearing from people like Senator Mike Dunleavy, who say, you know, look, we need to simply live within our means. We need to cut more and then, and then consider new revenue sources. But in Talkeetna proper in particular, you've got people who tend to be a little bit more progressive and say, well, look, you know, how much of the state services are we willing to cut before we even consider the idea of a new revenue stream? And so it's kind of a unique, and it's an interesting microcosm, I guess, in that way, because it is a relatively politically diverse place given the size of the population. But I think in general, there's frustration with a lack of progress.
Well, there are two things in particular in the Talkeetna area I'd ask you to address. The first one has to do with the time now after the passage of the tax legislation on a borough level. Any continuing discussion about that or look toward 2018?
Absolutely. Toward the end of the year, that's been one of the hotter topics here locally. Talkeetna voted, well, residents of the Talkeetna Sewer and Water District, I should clarify, voted for a 3% sales tax to help fund the system, the sewer and water system here, which has had a lot of fiscal issues and, in the case of the sewer lagoon, a lot of physical issues. And so that's a measure that was put forth by Assemblymember Kowalki and approved by voters. And now, in looking back on it, so the way that the legislation was written, there's a lot of discontent with some of the wording of things. And my understanding is that Assemblymember Kowalki is planning on trying to amend some of that to ease some people's concerns. Things like putting back in a cap, a maximum taxable transaction cap of $1,000. Which was taken out. Some folks were concerned that the large tour companies and other large businesses would do things like bundling, you know, 50 flight seeing tours as one purchase and thus kind of try to dodge the majority of the sales tax. So they removed that cap without realizing necessarily, or asked for its removal, without realizing how many businesses in the Talkeetna area that would affect. You've got a climbing guide here. Would their trips cost $8,000 to $9,000 a piece? Bulk fuel delivery, things like that, would all be impacted, and so that's potentially going back in. And the other thing people are concerned about with regard to that sales tax is that things like utilities are going to be taxed as well. So I mentioned bulk fuel delivery for places like the airport, but heating oil deliveries would be taxed. The electric bill would be taxed. Somewhat ironically, people's water and sewer bill would be subject to the sales tax. And so not sure exactly where that's going to end up yet, but I do know that the cap is Assemblymember Kowalki plans to bring back that cap.
Okay. A second issue that involved a lot of discussion was revision to SB 91, coming up with another number, 54, but particularly further discussions after passage It involved the Borough Assembly looking at what could be done borough-wide. In the Palmer and Wasilla areas, there are local police forces at work, but there has been a reduction in the number of troopers available in other places. What are people in the Talkeetna area thinking about crime?
They're very concerned, and there has been a definite uptick in property crime in the Upper Valley. You're hearing a lot more about burglaries, break-ins, that sort of thing. And as you alluded to, the trooper station that was located up here on the Talkeetna Spur Road was closed a couple of years ago due to budgetary concerns. And so people are interested in that conversation. I know in the last month or so, Assemblymember Sykes has, you know, brought up a conversation or kind of been directed, I guess, by the mayor to discuss things like the possibility of a Class 1 borough. But I'll tell you, Mike, there's a discussion up here about from some folks about looking into forming a new borough here in the Northern Valley. And it's still very much in its infancy, and I'm not sure where it's going to end up headed, but it's definitely a discussion that's happening, and people have shown a fair bit of interest in it. So we'll see where that goes, if anywhere.
And hasn't that been brought up in the past?
Well, incorporation has been brought up in the past, and I think there's been maybe discussions, but at this point, they're to the point now where there's a large social media group that's formed, and people are like, okay, well, we're going to research this topic, and the local boundary commission is getting involved in giving out information, and so it seems like there's at least some folks who were pretty serious about taking a look at it.
Is there any talk of how they draw the boundaries?
That's one of the major topics, is where exactly do you draw those boundaries?
Right. Do you include Willow? All the rest of that. It seems okay going, well, I'm not even sure if it's an easy thing going north.
It seems like with a lot of the land up there being unincorporated, it seems like it would be easier, but I'm not familiar with the details.
We'll see what 2018 brings in that regard.
Oh, it'll definitely be a continuing topic into next year.
Okay. Well, one of the topics that's been looked at, observed is the way I would put it, is the discussion about plastic bags. The borough and the city of Palmer have both been looking to the west. They've been watching the city of Wasilla as it now, in 2018, takes up the question of banning plastic bags. Before the city of Palmer might do whatever Wasilla is doing, and then leave it with the borough to decide what do they do, since, as I understand, the borough does not have banning powers at the moment. What's the thought about plastic bags in Talkeetna?
Well, I think you're hearing up here, what I've heard up here is similar to what I've been hearing at some of those assembly meetings and other discussions in the Southern Valley, which is people are more amenable to the idea of banning them than taxing them, which was the idea that the borough, you know, came out with, because you're right, they don't have the power to outright ban them, but they do have the power to tax them. And that, people were not happy with that up here. But the discussion of banning them, I think, is definitely one that people are willing to listen to at this point.
Okay, and of course, the technical difficulty is the city of Wasilla could ban, the city of Palmer can ban, presumably Houston could ban, but the borough seems to be having difficulty figuring out, well, does it matter what they do? It was originally my thought that the borough assembly was looking for some additional revenue by providing some taxing, but in terms of if most of the larger entities, big box stores, et cetera, are out of the picture, then maybe the borough would do nothing. And that would leave Talkeetna, I guess, saying, well, we could do this voluntarily or what?
Yeah, well, and there are some businesses, I think, that would be willing to do something like that voluntarily. I know the Cubby's Marketplace, the grocery store out here, there was talk that if, you know, this idea of taxing them came out, that they would just switch over from plastic to paper, which is kind of an interesting reversal from a couple decades ago. But I think there would be some willingness to go along with something like that up here.
Okay. Well, you have used, and we have used the term tax in one form or another. And, of course, the large news coming out of Washington, D.C. just before the holidays began was a passage of a large, complicated bill that people are still trying to figure out how it affects them and us. And that's the federal tax legislation. Any feedback or sense of how people are viewing that, as it will absolutely have an impact upon individuals and businesses?
Well, you know, I've been out of the area for a week or so, but before I left, there was, you know, a lot of talk that, okay, this looks like it's a thing that's going to happen. And so there's some concern. Talkeetna has a very large nonprofit sector relative to its population, including KTNA. And there was some concern about, okay, what's going to be the impact on organizations that rely at least partially on charitable donation and people's ability to write those off of their taxes. I haven't talked to anyone yet about the writing off, or if anybody's trying to prepay their borough property tax. I know that's something that's happening in other states, where there's going to be a $10,000 cap on applying local taxes to federal taxable income next year. So people are trying to prepay those 2018 taxes and running into the IRS is putting up some stumbling blocks for some of those folks. But I haven't talked to anybody up here yet that's doing that. And I think for a lot of folks, it's just going to be like, okay, well, let's see what actually ends up coming out of this.
Okay.
That seems to be the wise approach. And actually, you know, in the lack of real information, it's the only approach. But my sense of how folks have taken it so far seems to be mostly split along partisan lines. You know, folks who support the president are still willing to say, oh, yeah, it's a great idea. Folks who don't support the president, you know, take the opposite opinion. But as Philip pointed out, it really will come down to seeing how it works out over time, and particularly when the Obamacare, the mandate expires. That seems to be all the talk I hear in the news, is that is when people are really going to feel things first financially.
Okay. Well, there was another small piece of this legislation that potentially will affect us here. It certainly affects the state. And that was the opening of ANWR. Any sense from Talkeetna of how that's viewed? Or is it the mixed kind of reaction that appears in a variety of places?
I would say kind of the latter. It's a bit mixed. We do have a lot of very conservationally minded people here in the Upper Valley. And anytime something like that happens, they're not going to be particularly happy. At the same time, you've got a lot of people who recognize, you know, the state's dependence on the petroleum trade. And so I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, is this actually going to result in a tangible benefit for the state and the people of Alaska? And we can't know that yet.
Right. Okay. Well, there is something else coming up here in 2018, and that is January 1st, the first day of the year. This year, in 2018, unlike sometimes in the past when at 12:01 a.m. you could go out to your computer and register for your PFD, you have to wait until 9 a.m., I am told. I've reviewed that. And at 9 a.m. on the 1st, people can do that, and they can also choose from a very interesting process for identifying those nonprofits that are listed on Pick, Click, and Give. There's a tool to help you if you want to sort through, or you can go through them. Many of those organizations have quite detailed information about what they are and what they do. But there's also another little piece because of legislation that was passed a while ago by the people of the state of Alaska that effectively says, you will be, if you register for your PFD, also registered or fixed in terms of the information you provide for your registration for voting. And the thing that will happen is you will receive the a message with an opportunity to opt out. But if you choose not to opt out, then this presumably would mean that people who have not been registered will be registered, and those that have not updated their information with the Division of Elections will be updated as well. This is kind of an interesting thing. I'm looking at Mark, and he has a quizzical expression. Mark, question.
Very interesting that folks who are currently unregistered will automatically be registered unless they choose to opt out.
We voted on that.
Right. But who would opt out?
Well, I suppose it could be someone who says they do really do not want to vote. And it's possible to do it. It will be interesting to see down the road what the numbers are in terms of how many people choose not to, because it takes a bit. You have to do something, and that action would be there. The other part of this is that it is an interesting registration in that if you are a new registrant, you will be registered as unaffiliated unless you choose to go in and attach yourself to one or another party. Philip, any comments from your perspective?
Well, I'm in general a fan of things that are going to get more people registered to vote. I think that exercising the franchise is one of the most important things that we can do as Americans. And, there's that old story that if you don't use it, you might someday lose it. And so I'm in general a fan of things like that. I was a little puzzled that there was a fairly vociferous group of people opposing this when it came up on the ballot. There were privacy concerns. Of course, there was talk of potential voter fraud, that sort of thing. But I think with something like the PFD, where they're already likely going to be checking up on the people applying, it's probably a fairly safe way to get some of those folks who are not registered. I'm thinking, and think of how many people live off-road systems and things like that, where it might be difficult to get in touch with the Division of Elections if it's something that you're not actively thinking about, whereas everybody in the next couple of weeks is going to be pretty actively thinking about applying for their permanent fund dividend. So I think it has the opportunity to really expand the electorate of people who maybe have been here for a while and just haven't voted. And to answer Mark's question a little bit, I can see, you've got people, we've got a lot of folks in this area who live off the beaten path a fair bit and like it that way and don't necessarily like to be put on any more government roles than they have to be. So I could see that situation happening.
Well, is there data from other states that have a similar program about whether extending the opportunity to vote translates into higher voter turnout?
That I couldn't tell you for sure. And I mean, as far as things like the PFD, obviously that's kind of unique, but things like, driver's licenses, stuff like that. I mean, as it is, when you get your driver's license, it's an opt-in to register to vote, but I don't know if there have been places where they've changed that to an opt-out or not.
Well, I think you put your finger on a very significant thing, and that is that here in Alaska, since we're talking about a permanent fund dividend process that is truly unique, that means, I would suspect, more and more people as a proportion of the population are saying, I'm going to go through this process. But we'll watch and see in particular in 2018 if there's any correlation that can be drawn between this process and an increased number of people who are going to be voting. Obviously, this is going to be, a much higher profile election time in the fall. So we'll see how it all plays out. I've asked a lot of questions and pointed to a lot of topics. I want to make sure that we haven't missed something that is out there that it was significant in 2017 and looks like it'll carry forth into 2018. Philip, anything you have in mind?
Well, we had a couple of firsts this year in the Upper Valley that I think are going to definitely carry forward into 2018. One was we saw our first commercial cannabis facilities here in the Upper Valley with a retailer, a couple of grow operations. Now there's a manufacturing facility, and it's brought some income to the borough through taxes. It's brought some jobs, and largely, frankly, it's been a bit of a non-event as far as how it's impacted everyday life. There were some folks pretty concerned about what it would do to town, and the answer so far seems to be not a lot. The other thing is, you know, this year we saw the Talkeetna had its first annual Pride Parade. Over 300 people showed up, and it was an impressive turnout for the size of the community. And I know the organizers of that plan to keep that going forward into next year and beyond. So I think you're seeing a lot of the outside world starting to come into Talkeetna more and more.
Okay, Mark, same question.
Yeah, I think there's a common theme here among these topics today. You know, it's about what people are willing to pay for, and that seems to be central to the debates at the local level in Juneau and in Washington. And I think going forward, we will see one more of the results of cuts that have already been made and decisions that are being executed. And two, you know, I think that people will be way more engaged, way more involved, and really will take seriously the question of what are we willing to pay for when they go to the polls.
Okay. Well, of course, there are two other topics, and I think we have enough time to briefly touch upon them. The first appears to be what might be referred to as a cultural shift, and I'm talking about the outing, if you will, of many, many people who have been accused in one form or another of sexual harassment. That has played a large role, and I'm not sure that people saw it coming at the beginning of the year, and yet it's with us now. Philip, any comments?
I definitely think that it's something that's going to be with us going forward, and I'm with you. I didn't see this wave coming because allegations of sexual misconduct, sexual harassment are nothing new, but to see the impact that they're starting to have has been a real eye-opener in the last couple of months for sure.
Sure. Even with a representative in the Alaska House resigning as a result of it. And then lastly, the time we have, remembering that this is the end of the first year of the Trump presidency, which seems to have polarized even further a population in the country that has been polarized. Any quick comment about that?
Well, I just got back from Texas, so I got to see a little bit of that firsthand, and I think you alluded to it, earlier with talking about we might see a much more engaged populace for a midterm election in the coming year because the people who are backing him, the president, really are, and the people who are opposing him really are. So I think it sets the stage for some interesting political battles in the coming year for sure. And it's going to determine a lot of our policy all the way from the top down in for the next few years because you see a lot of politicians in various levels of government kind of emulating that style, so with varying levels of success.
Okay, well, we have run out of time, so I want to thank Mark Kelsey for coming into the studio today. Thank you, Mark.
Always a pleasure.
And I want to thank Philip Manning for coming all the way from Texas to be on the show today.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Have a happy new year.
All right, and next week we'll be back with another edition of Valley Edition. Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.